Blog Talk Radio.
It's on. Well,
please sit back,
lighten
your candles,
okay.
welcome to Broken Earth. Sorry for the delay tonight's show. It's all about Twilight Zone, readings, and we've got some other topics to talk about. If you'd like to give us a call on any previous readings, any information, anything interesting you've got to share with us, or anything really, and give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421.
Well, you know, this has been another crazy day. And we see Lillian's in the room. Hello, Lillian. Well, I guess she's not actually going to answer back unless she's typing. But this has just been a crazy past few days.
Well, I'm ready just to smash this place up and just, you know, I'm in a bad mood.
You are?
Yeah.
Why?
I'll be right in a bit. It's just stupid internet. Nothing's working out. Depressive week. Surrounded by death. But besides that, everything's all right.
Yeah, it has been a rough week.
There's music going on here somewhere, and I can't find out where the hell it's coming from. I can't turn it off.
There's some music. Oh, Lillian saying, I hope you two had a wonderful new year.
Yes, thanks. Apart from being ill.
Thank you, Lillian. I hope you did too. I hope you had a great new year as well. It's just been crazy, and today has just turned into another hectic day. And Skype.
We nearly ended up doing the show tomorrow because it.
Yeah, Skype is not doing well.
Joe got cut off halfway through.
Oh, and there's. I think the site must be just having some problems. Hopefully that's the situation, because normally I could just press a button and we'll be able to get to the studio and get into everything. I was having a hard time getting onto the site. Then, you know, I have a new laptop here because I was kind of thinking that maybe the laptop that I was using before wasn't working right, so I got a new laptop. And now, you know, it's not letting me just dial straight in. So it's just one thing after another, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes.
But, you know, it's David Bowie's birthday today, and I think that, you know, we've got his birthday, he has given us the gift of having his first album in the, you know, in 10 years, and he's going to have the album out, but he released the single today, and it's awesome. I love it. I mean, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was. You know what it reminded me of for some reason? A Kate Bush kind of song for some reason. I don't know if it's a specific song, but I can imagine Kate Bush singing it for some reason. Kate Bush, if I get the right person.
Right.
I think so. But yeah, I've never really been a big fan of David Bowie. Not really been into his music. But I do like him in Labyrinth and the songs he sings in that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, David Bowie is one of those people that you either love Bowie or you just don't like Bowie at all. I love David Bowie. I love him. But why don't we listen to that song? Let's listen to it and see, you know, what anybody else thinks about it.
I'm going to take some Valium.
Okay, you go get some Valium and I'll play David Bowie. Awesome, Lillian. Awesome. Yeah, you're busy at work, but keep up. And remember, if anybody wants to call in, the number to call in is 347-215-8421. The lines are completely open. It could be because the site is being completely ridiculous. But we're going to still do the show, or as much as it'll let us do. But, you know, here is the new Bowie song, Where Are We Now?
Had to get the train summer floods. You never knew that I could do that. Just walking the day. Sitting in the jungle, remember the stars. A man lost in time near Cardiff. Just walking the dead. Thousand people crossbows and broken, fingers are crossed just in case, walking dead.
I didn't really do much justice.
I know, it just sounded like horrible. Yeah, the sound is not too great today. But
even you sound a bit different today. Sounds like you sat in the toilet or something. Is it
really?
Like it, you weird, yeah. But anyway, what were you going to say?
I was saying Lillian is saying started working with a new angel yesterday, the angel Ariel. Feeling so much better today, and she's asking if my name is Hawaiian. It's Hawaiian for a Hawaiian person.
Yeah.
It is a name that can be Hawaiian.
Hakuna Matata.
That is not Hawaiian. That's African, like you.
All right.
Why don't you go back to Africa? You were saying that there's some things that you wanted to talk about. I'd like to hear them.
Oh, yeah. Well, funnily enough, there's nothing funny about it, or enough about it, forget that. Alex Jones was on the Piers Morgan show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know Piers Morgan is a bit of a, what's the word?
A wonderful dandy? I don't know. A twonk. Okay.
I've seen him interviewing people on there. It's just childish. Anyway, Alex Jones. You know what Alex Jones is like? And I thought, this is going to be interesting. And Alex Jones just went off, you know. He was shouting. I thought he was going to beat the crap out of Piers Morgan for a minute. But I really do think, if you have a look, just have a look on YouTube or something. It's interesting talking about, you know, Second Amendment and gun laws. I don't even know if Piers Morgan managed to get, like, he only got, like, a couple of sentences in. But Alex Jones didn't do himself any favours.
Right.
Because he could have gone about it more tactfully. I wasn't really impressed the way he went about things, because he was just shouting and ranting and raving and wanted to get his point across. But I know that happens sometimes, especially when you're passionate about something.
Right.
You just want to get all the information out, and it's difficult not to get emotional about it.
I was actually, you have just segued me into what I was going to talk about today.
Go on.
We're connected by the hip, by the brain. But real quickly, didn't Alex Jones say that he wanted Piers Morgan to be deported?
That's right. Well, Jesse Ventura said on Facebook, you know, about being deported. I said, commented on that, saying, we don't want him back. You can keep him.
But yeah, but you know, I was seeing some back and forth earlier today, much earlier today, like last night, like overnight, about that whole thing, and some people were on Pierce's side, some people were on Alex's side, but regardless, you know, people were upset. But I was going to talk today about why people yell at each other.
Something up here. Someone's saying somebody can't hear me. Is my volume, can you adjust my volume at all?
I can't adjust it, but I can see the thing is I can hear you great. I can hear you great. So maybe, let me try something. I don't know if I can. Hold on just a moment. Let me see. Well, see, when I turn you up, say something.
Hello. Mic check.
Does that sound better to you? Or does it just sound better to me?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm talking to the room. I'm sorry. Well, she's not answering. But
well, anyway. I'll continue. What were we saying?
I was just saying that, you know, why people yell at each other. And people yell at each other because when they're upset, it's because they're, even though they could be standing side by side or face to face, they yell because their hearts in anger have become distant, and they yell because they feel like you can't hear it, like their hearts are really yelling. It's about passion. But when people care about each other or when they're in love, they whisper because their hearts are really close together.
Right.
So, but anyway, that's, the yelling and all that stuff is because they're in such, even though they may be in the same room, they're so far apart spiritually, so far apart from each other emotionally, that people feel like they have to scream and holler.
Well, you could tell that he was upset, and so he was trying to get as much information out as possible, and it was a little bit overwhelming trying to keep up with what he was saying. But I believe he was supposed to be in three parts. There's going to be three segments to it, but there was only two. They kicked him out of the studio after the second segment.
I'm pretty sure.
But you know, I think he could. I'm glad he went there. He certainly, you know, Piers Morgan didn't know how much to say. Well, he couldn't really get much in. But I think Alex Jones could have gone about it a bit better. And at one point, he was actually making fun of the British accent, so which was pretty Piers Morgan's been quite childish on there before, but I thought that was a childish move by Alex Jones, and I was a bit disappointed
by
that.
That is very disappointing. Because, it's ridiculous. It's like he may as well have just said, nanny, nanny, boo, boo.
Yeah. Well, it's worth looking at, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I admire him for what he's done. But I think if he'd gone about it a bit more calmly, maybe. But like I said, it's difficult when you're full of emotion and, you know, and expecting somebody to be very confrontational with you. You want to get the upper hand, and I think that's what he did. But,
right.
You know.
There you go. And there you go. You know, every...
Yeah.
No, I was just going to announce again, and I'm so sorry to interrupt you. It's just whenever,
that's all right.
Whenever you slow down, I think you're done. I notice I do that to a lot of people, and I'm always telling people, I'm so sorry. Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
I was done. I was just going to try and move us into a, some other conversation without there being too much of a segment or making too much, making it too obvious. But I guess that's not working now.
Our phone lines are open. Our number is 347-215-8421. If you'd like to get a sample reading, like if you have a simple question, or if you'd like to talk about our actual topic for today, which is the Twilight Zone TV show and other old TV shows that were like that, like One Step Beyond and even like a show from the 80s, Amazing Stories, you know, TV shows that actually like, you know, Tales from the Dark Side. Now, for the Twilight Zone, I was kind of thinking about that because every, like, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, they show the Twilight Zone marathon. And so you get all Twilight Zoned out. They show all the episodes, you know, back to back. And you know, just thought people might like to sit back and talk about their favorite episodes.
Well, myself, I used to watch it when I was younger, and I used to find it quite scary. Is it? See, I haven't watched it since I was a kid. I mean, is it still a bit scary and a bit dark and twisted and a bit, whoa, what the hell just happened kind of thing? Is that what it's still like?
It's still like that. I mean, you know, it's the same show.
I wonder what you're going to say, then. There's only one that stands out in my mind that I can remember from when I was a kid. I mean, bear in mind, I was watching this when I was like five or something. It was one where there was these astronauts or something, they end up in a world where there's of giants and they're really small.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one?
Yeah.
That was weird, but, you know, I plan to watch them again. And the other thing, Twilight Zone-wise, that I do love is the song Twilight Zone by Golden Earring. That's one of my favorite songs of all.
You all right?
Yeah. I'm choking on that word.
The Twilight Zone.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
Are you serious?
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Nothing. I'm not saying anything. I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of, it was one of my dad did me a cassette tape with this music on, you know, and it was like the first track on there. I like it. I guess it's because it reminds me of my dad and, you know, being a kid and enjoying music. That's probably
right.
Why, you know.
When the bullet hits the bone. Dun, 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 dun.
There's a quote I saw today, actually, which is good. Just quickly, do you think about it? If you think the environment is less important than the economy, try holding your breath while you count your money.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I try that, and then I realize I ain't got any money. So
I know, I'm going to say it works.
Yeah.
I can totally do it. I can totally do it. I've decided that this year I'm going to buy myself a Maybach car. It's a Maybach. It's made by Mercedes.
Oh.
It's a German car. And the car I want is about $500,000, and I'm going to get one of those this year.
Nice. Well, the new model Range Rover, 2013 model, came out, today was the official day where you could have a Range Rover 2013 model version. And you've got to be looking at prices of about 105 grand, maybe, you know, in UK shillings.
Right.
But I saw some today. There was four that got delivered somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And they're really nice, and they do look expensive. And they've actually got, like, a limousine-type one.
Right.
Well, you have the center cubby box. In the
uh-huh.
The Range Rover, they've got one of them in the rear. So you're losing
wow.
a seat, and you get like a little cubby box and all the switches and stuff. It's expensive luxury car. They do look expensive. They look quite nice, actually.
Well,
so.
We're going to be riding around in a Maybach, and it's going to be awesome.
It sounds small.
Because the box sounds like I'm saying box.
Yeah.
But it's not really that small. I mean, it's got a lot of room in it. A lot of European cars, they look small, like they could kind of appear to be small, but on the inside they're actually very roomy, and it's a very roomy on the inside. And there's, I mean, you just got to see it. You just got to see it. It's beautiful. And you can, like, the particular model that I'm looking at, you can take the back part of the roof off. So that
they're saying they've been discontinued.
They've been discontinued?
Because they were that good.
Well, actually, they have some that have been released this year. There may be certain types that have been discontinued, but they do have some 2013s because I was looking at them last night. So,
well, moving on from our plugging vehicles, did you ever hear about Gary McKinnon?
No.
No? Gary McKinnon was, well, he still is, English, and I didn't realize it was so long ago. End of 2001, he accessed NASA's computers. They're saying he inverted was rustling so loud. In inverted commas, he hacked into NASA's computers when in fact I believe what he did was he managed to access a computer.
Uh-huh.
And the administrator password, there wasn't any passwords. It was just blank. So you know, you hit end, continue, or okay. It just takes you straight in. So there wasn't any passwords. And you managed to gain what is all that noise?
I was just closing a box. Let me mute
all right.
The,
are you sure that your mic's working there and it's not working off the mic on the laptop?
Why, what's wrong?
Just tap on the mic. It sounds like it's working off the mic on the laptop.
Oh. All right, let me try something. Hold on a moment. Well, what do you think?
That's worse.
It's worse?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Hold on. There you go. What have you done?
I just turned the wires around.
Well, I'll leave it like that.
I'm going to have to get a new headset. Will you get me a new headset?
No. So, Gary McKinnon. What was it up to? Oh, yeah. So he managed to get onto the administrator password, gave him the access of the network.
Mm-hmm.
So he could go onto computers. Anyway, it's been going on for 10 years, so they were going to extradite him to the US. And he's not been known. I can't believe it's gone on for so long. Actually, it's been 11, maybe 12 years now. And they finally said, like last month, that he's not going to face any charges now. Because who was it that stopped him? Theresa May blocked the US demands to send him there. They were trying to, you know, bargain and say, if you come to the US and we'll make it do 2 years and then give you this and that and that. And he said, yeah, okay, but they never went ahead with it. But he was looking to say 70 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But now, after this long, since the end of 2001 when he did it, I think he was arrested in the March 2002, they've actually, you know, he's actually can relax now, and now he's not going to prison for it. Well, what did he find? He was looking for evidence of UFOs.
Right.
And he didn't find too much, you see, because at the time he was working on dial-up modem.
Uh-huh.
And photos and things like that.
Right.
It takes so long to load. One of the things he found was a list of non-terrestrial officers. Now, what does that sound like to you?
That there are some terrestrial officers.
Well done. Well, yeah. Yeah, but good conclusion. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I think, then.
Okay.
Non-terrestrial, to me, could even mean two things. What they thought was there was officers that, from here, from this Earth, that weren't on Earth, that were other places doing work, like the moon or anywhere. Well, non-terrestrial could be anywhere else in the universe apart from Earth. Or, I suppose you could look at it like they're officers not of our world, you know, officers part of the government, I don't know, which aren't terrestrial beings. So that was interesting, you found that list, and it was worded non-terrestrial officers. That's what I think, which is, I'd say, probably a little bit better than your conclusion. The other thing that he found was a photo. See, he was downloading, he saw the Earth's hemisphere as it was loading down the page, and he thought, oh, I've got a boring, just a satellite image or something, you know. But as it loaded down, there was a craft, a cigar-shaped craft, which was slightly flattened at either end, and around the middle, there was like a dome on top, dome on the bottom, and dome on the side facing him, and he presumes a dome on the other side as well.
Right.
which is obviously, of course, you know, interesting because it's on NASA's. He's found this on NASA's website. It's extremely interesting, but then again, you've got to take his word for it. That's what
right.
He found. But and there's an interview on there from 2007. I didn't realize there was interviews on there. But there was an interview from 2007 with Project Camelot on YouTube, if you want to check that out. And he seems quite laid back and honest, you know, about it. But, you know, it's a big thing. You know, talking about NASA and photographs, there's always been talk of how NASA touch up images of the moon and other places and blur
right.
out objects which shouldn't be there. Of course, you know, you've heard of it, you know, where they blur out objects which, for some reason, you know, which some of them look like towers or big tall things sticking out in other areas where they've removed things, you know. Well, I noticed on NASA's website under their official, you know, on their proper website under just photos of like the office and stuff like that, and you know, just normal photographs like somebody pointing at a computer screen talking to their mate or something, you know, their colleague. One of them is leaning on a photograph of the moon,
mm-hmm.
and it has a structure on it. It's on the desk in front of them. I don't know whether it's been left there by accident or it's been put there on purpose or whether it's not what I think it is, but it looks like the surface of the moon with a structure on it. And it's off, directly off NASA's website. So, make what you will of that.
What do you make of it?
Like I said, to me, it looks like a structure on the moon, and maybe someone's put it there. Oh, look at that. I don't know. I mean, maybe they forgot about it, but it looks weird. they could have put it there because they're trying to get out this information, which many people have done over the years from what I've heard. There's actually a woman on the Disclosure Project who talks about all this as well, if you've seen the Disclosure Project or not. It's worth checking out. There's you know, people from the military and everybody, you know, substantial people with substantial backgrounds from military, Navy, all over the place, standing up and giving their testimonials and witness accounts of extraterrestrial vehicles and UFOs and that. So there you go.
And there you go. Let's take a break. You know, the sound is not working. It doesn't sound as stellar as it usually does. But we're going to try to play a song and hope it doesn't just sound so horrific that everybody gets annoyed with it. If it does sound bad, I'll just stop it.
Well, it's not too bad at the moment. I see. It just sounded a bit different, that's all.
Okay.
All right. Well, at least we can hear you anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody, remember, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. If you'd like to give us a call and have a sample reading or just say something, even if it's just to hear your voice, that's what Bill does. Give us a call at 347-215-8421, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
Hello, my name is Marissa from Power of You. Love, money, hope, security. Contact me for personalized spell packets. I'm a practitioner of Enlightened Down Home Conjure. Just email us at powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com. Again, powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com.
Okay, I cut it off because the sound is pretty bad.
Is.
I mean, it's so bad that it makes you kind of angry, doesn't it?
Nauseous.
Okay, so hold on just a moment.
I'm sure things will be back to normal next show. It's just...
I hope so, because I'm really sad. And you know what really is frustrating, too, is that, you know, we pay for this service.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the last show cut us off, and then this show is terrible. And, you know, it's just the pits. There's a cat in here.
I can hear a cat.
Who is that? Who are you? Go on out of here.
Is it an anonymous cat?
It's not the right, it's Michonne. Hold on just a moment. I need to let somebody know. Can you talk while I let somebody know that Michonne's in the house?
Yeah, okay. I'll just have to sing a song. Let me tell you about an article with regards to hemp oil and cancer. There's been a new Spain study confirms that this hemp oil can cure cancer without any side effects. Now, this isn't the same as hemp seed oil, which is freely available to people. This is hemp oil, which I believe is taken from the head of the plant with all the oils in it. Let me read a bit of this out to you. It's quite a long read, but bear with me. The International Medical Veritas Association, or the IMVA, is putting hemp oil on its cancer protocol. It is a prioritized protocol list. The top five items are magnesium chloride, iodine, selenium, alpha lipoic acid, and sodium bicarbonate. You back?
I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back.
It makes perfect sense to drop hemp oil right in the middle of this nutritional crossfire of anti-cancer medicines, which are all available without prescription. Hemp oil has long been recognized as one of the most versatile and beneficial substances known to man, derived from hemp seeds. No, it's not. That's not right. It's
what?
Not derived from hemp seeds at all. This article is wrong. No, because I'm reading about, you know, Spain study confirms hemp oil cures cancer without side effects.
Right.
But it's saying it's from hemp seeds, which it isn't. I know this for a fact. It's
no,
not
it's not.
From hemp seeds. It's got a different, I can't remember what the name of it is, but there's a certain
isn't it just in the weed?
Well, it's from the head of the plant, I believe, because you can get the oil. I don't know, because I think you get male and female plants.
Right, you get male and female plants, but isn't it the female plants that where all the nutritional value comes
yes,
from?
Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah, and so you can just basically get yourself some weed and then just...
well, no, it's not quite that simple. It's quite...
You can just buy some weed?
I was relying on this article to be correct, but, you know, I guess not. That isn't right. But the problem is hemp seed oil isn't legal because it's from the seeds and you can get the seeds and whatever. But the hemp oil is what you have to get from a full-grown plant, which is illegal.
In some places, and, it's illegal. Some places.
Yeah, well, this is the problem. You see, I'd want to get some for my dad.
Well, just get some weed.
I can't. It's not that simple. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just playing. I'm being, you know, I'm trying to be cheerful. I don't want you to get frustrated.
It's having the opposite effect. So I worked out that you'd have to buy about 2 pounds of marijuana or something to get this. So you have to get like an extract out and you're supposed to have like a droplet. But it comes out as like this paste. We have to go through a dangerous process to do it. I know there is somebody who does it. Just bear with me a second. I think this article is incorrect. Hold on.
Okay. Well, while he's doing that, I'm going to tell you guys how to make some weed better. I'm just I'm not going to say that because I don't know how to do it. Anybody else may know how to do it, though. You know how to do it, Lillian? April, you know how to do it? Guest 4431, do you? Nobody's answering.
Okay, the guy that's, I know there's a few people that does it, but there's a guy called Rick Simpson. If you investigate that, it shows you the process. You can do it yourself if you can get hold of it, but like I said, it's a bit dangerous because of the process it goes through. It can be quite explosive. But if you go to his website, it's Phoenix Tears or Phoenix Tears, depends how you read it. But I've given up with that other article, but some Spanish group has confirmed that it can cure it, which is dangerous talking about these things, saying that things can cure cancer because people go missing. And suddenly, you know.
There you go.
Investigate it, and if you're in an area where you can get hold of this stuff, it might be worth investing in it into somebody who's not well, you know. Why are you laughing?
Because April is saying, hold on, I missed something, LOL.
Oh, right.
In the room.
But, yeah. There you go, that was all.
Well, you know, there are certainly medicinal properties in marijuana in some places where, you know, it's not illegal. You could get yourself a quarter pound of the sticky icky and chop it up real fine, only where it's not illegal, and put butter in a pan and cook it all together real slowly and put it in, you know, use it instead of oil or butter in your brownie mix or your cookie dough. Or you could just use it when to dip some crab meat in or lobster meat or sprinkle it on top of your popcorn. Or even, you know, use it when you're making ice cream. That's what I heard.
Well, I don't know about that. See, I don't know about the, see, with regards to a medical benefit of people who need it.
Right.
I all I know at the moment is just the actual paste and the oil that's down to a fine compound is what can, you know, I just
right.
want people to understand that so people don't get confused and start trying to cure the cancer with butter and weed.
Well, the thing is, it's like what you were saying, you were getting kind of frustrated because it said hemp seed. And it's not the actual hemp seed oil, it's the hemp oil itself
right.
that you were talking about. So, but, you know, it's however it's been used medicinally, you know, with what he's talking about, or just like, you know, the country man's way of using it medicinally, you know. But still, it's a very, very good medicine. I mean, that's what it is. It's a medicine. And
a lot of people say that, you know, that you don't get any side effects from marijuana whatsoever.
That's not true.
I know it isn't. I know it from firsthand.
But when you have side effects from marijuana, it's because you're not being medicated properly. It's whenever somebody gets the fear and the loathing or the paranoia, it's because they're not supposed to be using it, you know? And so, you know, sometimes you can use it and it's okay. Sometimes you use it and you feel terrible. You feel, you know, you feel crazy, suicidal, like the world's falling apart, and it's because you're not supposed to use it. So, you know, when you have side effects, it's because it's not right for you.
Well, April's saying it's healthier than liquor, which is legal, which is true, and it's healthier than tobacco. So remember, if you're going to smoke marijuana, don't use tobacco. I think we should probably move on now.
I do. And it's funny because we don't use it. We don't smoke weed. We don't eat weed. We don't use weed.
Not anymore.
I never did.
Oh. Now, moving on.
There's a caller. You want to take the call?
Okay, yeah. Right.
Okay. Are you feeling a little bit better?
I was trying to get that impression.
Everybody, let's take a moment of silence and just take some nice, good, deep breaths. And everybody send Bill some nice, good, positive energy. Just send him the fairest, the lightest, the pinkest, the bluest, the brightest energy you possibly can. And we'll just do this for a moment. I hope that helps you a little bit. I hope
Thank
it helps you.
You
a little bit. Okay, now let's take our caller. The caller is at 856. 856, you've reached Broken Earth. How can we help you today?
Hi, how are you?
Good, very good. Can I have your name?
Rosemaria.
Rosemaria?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Rosemaria, share with us what's on your mind today.
I was just wondering about, like, near future, any new jobs coming my way or anything to expect with friendships
okay.
and stuff.
Okay, well, let's look and see about a new job. Let's look at that. Let's look and see if you've got a new job coming your way. Hold on just a moment. Remember, just relax and bear with me just a moment. Okay, let's see. Our magician is upside down, and there's competition. But, yeah, there is an opportunity coming up. It looks like there's an opportunity coming up for you around next week, sometime next week. And the job you'll be doing, because you appear as, it looks like you'll be, okay, I want to tell you something. You show up in two layers. One is the High Priestess and one is the Queen of Batons. And in my readings, this represents someone who takes care of people in some way. Is that what you do? Do you actually take care of people or do you tend to people's needs?
Not in the health system and technology system.
So you're doing technology. Do you do, like, customer support or customer service or, you know, what type of thing
Hire.
Are you doing? Hire?
Hire, like military stuff and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Well, if there's something that you can't say, that's totally fine. But and I'm sorry to pry, but basically it looks like you will have an opportunity, but it's something that is coming up over the next, week, literally the next week. Now, I'm going to tell you, over the next few years, maybe 2-3 years or so. It actually looks like it's about 2 years or so. It does look like you may be making a change altogether, okay? But, yeah, it does look like there's some stuff coming your way, and it's not far. It's not far at all, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks you so much for listening. And we're on every Tuesday at the same time. It's usually a lot more exciting than this, but I think there's something wrong with the Blog Talk site. So, but thank you so much, dear, and you hang in there.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
I believe that Lillian earlier, and I totally had it just totally slipped my mind, had asked to have a card pulled.
Ace of Spades.
It's the Ace of Spades. Let's see. Let's pull a card for, what was it, for work? Yeah, about work. Okay, let's see. Let's see what kind of card she'll get. And then we won't tell her what it means. We'll just give her the card. It's the Six of Coins, and there you go. Anyway,
hey, thank you.
Thank you. Good night. The Six of Coins, Lillian, is actually completely appropriate for you because it's a card that represents reciprocation. Like whatever you give is exactly what you get. Gifts given, gifts received. So basically, when you're dealing with your clients or even if you're getting back out there in something that's more public, because of, what you do. Just remember that you have to ask for whatever you think you're worth. Try not to, I understand that you want to stay competitive, but you'll feel better. It'll just be more beneficial for you to not sell yourself short. Doesn't that sound about right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I like your shirt.
I haven't got one on.
You have an undershirt on.
Yeah, I was just kidding. It's just a mess of things. Yeah, it's getting pretty warm in here. It's been a tough week. Unfortunately, people passing away. You know, just sad things this week. It's just not been good.
I know.
But what's next on the agenda. There was there anything, was, did you want to discuss your favorite Twilight episode?
Yeah.
Twilight.
I want to talk about my favorite Twilight moment. My favorite moment on Twilight. I'm just kidding. So, I actually like a lot of them. One of them that always comes to mind is the episode where there's this woman and she's shrieking at the top of a hill. And then she starts riding her horse down the hill, and this girl sees her, and she's, like, freaking out. She's like, oh, my gosh. And so the girl, they're riding horses, and the woman is chasing her, screaming her name and shrieking. And the girl is just, you know, riding her horse away, freaking out. And she finally reaches her home, and the woman is gone. And she's like, I saw this woman at the top of the hill, and she was chasing me, and, you know, she's trying to get me or whatever. So through the story, you realize that the young girl has an opportunity to marry either this guy that she has a ton of passion for or a guy who can actually offer her security. And so, you know, and that's a good question for the chat room. If you had an option to marry, to like literally marry someone who you had a lot of passion for or for somebody who could actually offer you security, who would you choose? Who would you choose? But I'm not going to tell you what she did, but I'll tell you.
Yeah, because I haven't seen it.
Right. But
I may have done, but it's, you know, continue.
Okay. But I was just going to say that, and this is the part that's actually the clincher, but it's the part that you need to know. The woman shrieking was actually her. She had somehow been able to run across her. She was trying to warn her about the choice she made.
Right.
Yeah, so. She's like, the one that stands out is the pig people. Yeah, that's the one that always stands
pig
out for everybody.
Pig people.
Look like pig, taste like people. But yeah, that one is actually called, it's like, it's some, I can't remember what it's called, but I watched it the other day. But yeah, the one where, you know, the girl is going to have an operation to look like everybody else, but everybody looks like pigs.
Sounds disturbing. But sure. Then again, pigs are supposed to be the result of human genes being crossed with wild boars.
You know,
they are the only other creature on the planet that needs sunscreen to stop it from burning, and the fact that Muslims don't eat it because they say it's dirtied with human DNA.
Really?
I believe so. I may have my facts incorrect there, but I'm pretty sure.
I was just going to say that I was watching one of Chef Ramsay's shows, because you know he has thousands of shows. I was watching one of his shows yesterday, and there was a butcher on there that was talking about the different cuts of meat, and he was actually showing pigs, and there was a pig hanging up, and I know this is going to sound so twisted, but, you know, he had the legs hung up, and I was looking, I was like, the pig's legs are kind of sexy. I mean, just because they were so curvaceous, and they were pink, and they looked human, and so for you to say that, I've heard that pigs were something, but because they call human flesh long pig or something like that, or long
white long pig.
Yeah, but I
call them, yeah.
Yeah, I'd never heard. I think I actually may have heard that a long time ago and put it out of my mind, but it's because it sounds familiar, but it also sounds distant to me. What you just said.
You know, I've been watching somebody called, I was talking to my dad the other day. I was watching this program. His name was Darren, Darren D. And he's like, Darren D-O-G. I was like, Darren Dog? No, D-O-G. I was like, it's spelled Dog.
D-O-G.
He's like, no, his name is D-O-G. I was like, all right. Anyway, he's one of the best people I've seen talk for a long time, because he's so grounded, and he's just, everything that he said clicked with me, and I felt grounded as well after watching him. If you investigate him, Darren, D-O-G, which is D-E. It's really confusing trying to spell it out when you got D-O-G in your head. D-E-O-J-E-E. Something like that. Just put in Darren Dog, see what happens. but it was a lot of things he spoke about, and I thought, you know what, he's right. One of the things was where people, he was, you know, they touched on like the Mayan calendar and the end of the world. The world's going to end, or the fact that, you know, this year aliens are supposed to be coming to help us out, or we're all suddenly be going into a higher vibration. Which he wasn't disputing could happen, but the fact that he was saying that people are looking forward at these events and forward to the possibility of events, even though a lot of them have said this is going to be the year for it. No, this is going to be the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what he was saying was you mustn't look at those events and sit back and think, right, this is coming up. I can sit back now and relax. There's looking forward to future events that you think could happen shouldn't stop you what you should be doing now.
Right.
Now, a lot of people are thinking, well, it's going to be the end of the world, or there's going to be extraterrestrials come to help us, and it makes people sit back and kick back and think, well, I'll wait for this event to come up. It doesn't happen, so then they wait again. And they end up doing nothing. I'm not saying that's what everybody does, but I know I'm kind of guilty in some senses with similar things. So I've gone, this is going to be happening in the future. So, you know, I'll just take a back seat and just ride it out for a bit when I could be doing something. I could be doing more instead of sitting back and wait for it all to happen. And it doesn't, I'll wait till next year. but also the other thing you said was, our reality is created from stories, as in our reality is built upon what other people have said and our beliefs. Some of our beliefs are created from what we've heard, if you know what I mean. Oh, I can't hear you.
That's why I was trying to do that show last week on storytelling. You know, because I wanted to show the impact of stories on how we see things and just, you know, just on society. And like the Bible, for instance,
yeah.
A bunch of stories that people finally wrote down and put together, and when they're translated, you know, they're translated as best as they could be. And you know that it's not completely the way it's supposed to be because of just, you know, some of the languages being lost and King James having things bend in a certain direction so that people will follow a certain path or whatever. But, I mean, I'm only using this as an example because it's a story, you know, and Gilgamesh, the story of Gilgamesh, that's an even older story. And it still has the structure of good and evil, and the struggle, the man whose journey is the struggle. If you look at the tarot cards are basically a story. It's the story of the fool and his journey through all these different places. And the other cards in it, the ones that have the numbers, those are actually a completely different thing, but the cards have all been put together because it's like a regular deck of cards mixed with picture cards, and so it's all just been kind of placed together. But I mean, but it's all still stories. It's all stories. Everything is stories.
Well, that's right. I digress. Let me just clarify the fact that, you know, when I say stories, I don't mean, you know, fairy tales and
I know
I'm not saying that's what you meant, but I'm just clarifying for other people as well that, you know, it could be the news, you know. For example, I said to my dad earlier, I said our reality is built upon stories and information that we believe, you know, from what we've seen, and what we actually do know, our true reality is built upon what we've actually witnessed ourselves. We actually know this,
right?
For example, I said to my dad, how do I know that Australia exists? I mean, it's likely that it is. It probably is there, but I'm saying I've never been there.
Right.
I don't know if it is real, but, you know, I've seen images for it. I've seen people, you know, the accent, you know, all the information is coming from that, but I cannot say 100% that I know that Australia is there because it's...
You haven't been there.
Exactly, yeah. It's not me being ignorant saying, oh...
I understand.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's just an example, you know?
Right. No, it's true. It's completely true. But the thing is, if you think about it, you know, the same thing can be said for people. You know, people can, like people who do those things where they meet people online and they say they're from Africa or whatever. And, like, you know, there's tons of people that are doing, like, the love scams in different places.
Yeah.
And all they're doing is loading people up with stories and then scamming them for something. But the thing is, when the people try to finally actually meet them, you know, they can't collide worlds because all they're dealing with is a story.
Yeah. You don't know. I mean, you just don't know with things like that. I mean, someone could tell you they're an 18-year-old girl from the USA, and it could be some 46-year-old man from Russia.
Right.
For example. There was a story, you know, it's quite funny, and I feel quite bad saying, you know, I hope it's true, but there was these two women that met in a chat room. I think it was a lesbian's chat room, and for months they'd been talking, you know, doing the dirty chats back and forth. You know, you can imagine what they got into over the course of months, you know, and it was close to the point, I think they were going to meet or... I don't think it got quite that far, but it got to the point where, after all this dirty chat and their fantasies and that, one of them turned around and said, I've got something to tell you. By the way, I'm actually a man.
And oh, wow.
The other one said, actually, I'm also a man.
Oh, God.
That's the dangers of being fed a story without, you know, I mean... Either must have felt all this time. Oh, dear.
Well, you know...
I shouldn't laugh, but it's
I'm going to tell you... I'm going to tell you that... hello, Jules. Years ago, I was in this chat room, and this girl that I had befriended, her husband... was actually pretending like he was a girl, and he had some guy fallen in love with his words, and it was such as I'm not even going to go there because it went so dark. It really got very dark, but yeah, it's kind of like that. But I was reading some stuff the other day, and you know, basically, you know, I mean, you know, as people, just like you said. And because this keeps coming up ever since I've been thinking about storytellers, it keeps coming up of, and you just said it again, about stories and behavior, about and because all we do as human beings is we behave. We act a certain way and we react a certain way based upon the things that we hear. So it's, you know, but that's, anyway, we're going somewhere else. We're going somewhere else. We do have a caller. We have a caller, so I want to stop talking for a moment, and I'm going to try to play a song. Will somebody please, somebody in the chat room, if we're going to start playing a song. The sound has been horrible today. If the song sounds terrible, please tell us. If the song sounds okay, please tell us, because what we hear sounds like the pit, but you guys may actually be hearing, you know, harps and just loveliness. But let me know, because I really need to stop talking. I need to take a break for a moment.
Now, before we do that, somebody's asking about why the name Broken Earth. Now, of the, you know, the radio show, either you can tell them when we come back, but if I direct you to the website, it's actually under contact, I think, if you go to the page. That's http://, Bill Doyle, D-O-Y-L-E, wix.com www.facebook.com/brokenearthradio, and that link is actually, you can actually see the address just to the right of the scrolling pictures at the top of the screen there, without the hash and exclamation mark on the end. I don't know why they're there, but if you go on there, it should have the explanation of why we decided to call it the Broken Earth Radio Show.
Yeah, so like you were saying, if you scroll up to the top of the page where you are now, to where the radio show is flashing by and you see our pictures, there's a description of the show, and underneath that you'll see the show website. You can just copy and paste it because it won't let you click. Just copy and paste it. It used to let you click. It's just, this site has just gotten crazy. But anyway, and you can read it. And
it's not working, actually, to be honest with you. The link, there's something wrong with it. It's putting a weird dash in there for some reason.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, let's take a little break. And like I said, Lillian or somebody in there, if the sound sounds good, let us know. If the sound sounds bad, please let us know. And let me find what are the new songs that I found for the show. But just let me know something, please. And hold on just a moment. And, well, actually, the... Yeah, we'll be right back. We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
We're back. Do you remember that episode of South Park called Inception?
Oh, what?
Inception.
Oh, yeah.
When they're like, punch, 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 punch.
Yeah.
There, you can hear it in that.
You cannot
see it. Yeah, that was the song from Inception. And while that song played, not only did I give birth, but I also painted the house.
Well, you know that, I believe, how they worked it. Cause isn't that like the theme from Inception, right? Hello there.
I'm here.
Yes, no, maybe.
You said,
is that the theme from Inception?
That's the main song from Inception, right?
I believe the way they came up with that was the song in it. There's a French song. No, I can't remember where it goes. It's like some French song. But basically, I believe how they came up with that is it's quite an old song, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe it's played in it. You know what? I think it might have been played when they're actually in the beginning, and they hear the music playing over it as a signal for them to come out of it or something. Anyway.
Right. I remember.
You know, I've got the software and stretch music 800% times slower.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe they got the soundtrack by the theme by slowing that song down 800%. Or something along those lines. Or, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Anyway. You say really cool.
Well, the thing is that sometimes the way to get revenge against somebody who dares to call people to who give readings for a reading is to play a song and they hang up.
Right.
I dare you to call. No, I'm just joking. I actually want you to call, but some people, they don't want to wait.
So
they hung up.
Should I share something with you?
I love
the
it.
Audience.
I love
okay.
it when you do that.
Well, this is actually from Nexus magazine, and it's a letter to the editor, which I thought was interesting. And it's titled, Proof of Life After Death. Dear Duncan, who was the editor, please allow me to first to express my sincere condolences. Oh, hold on a minute, sorry. In 1999, I returned for the first time in 10 years to the UK to visit my parents, Ron and Mary Dennis, in my hometown of Westcliff-on-Sea, Essex. Sorry, let me just reposition myself here. I'm feeling kind of awkward. Right. I must say at this point that my mother claims to be a confirmed atheist, whilst my father has always said that he will believe something when he sees it. Dad was reserved to express any opinion on the existence of God or an afterlife, but tended to err on the side of healthy skepticism. Anyway, Dad and I had an amazing discussion. Of all subjects, a discussion that centered upon two of my favorite topics, God and the afterlife. I proceeded to tell Dad that I believe in an absolute God of pure energy, not to be confused with the God, or more accurately, the gods of Old Testament, which I believe were physical, technologically superior beings, and also that I firmly believe in the afterlife. He responded by confirming his skepticism and said that nothing I could say would convince him. I suggested a proposal to him, which he accepted. I informed Dad that I had a very good friend named Rosalia, who lived close to me in Sydney, Australia. Rosalia is an accomplished tarot card reader, a metaphysical teacher, the very type of person of whom Dad was very skeptical. I said to Dad that I was absolutely certain that I was right about the afterlife, and that should he die before me, he would deliver a message to Rosalia for me, admitting that I was right all along. Dad knew fully well how I always loved to be right, and he's often reminded me. A couple of years later, just after the debacle that was 9/11, I received a very disturbing phone call from my best friend, David, who was at my mum's house in England. My dad had died of a heart attack the previous night. To cut a long story short, I went back to Australia after 3 weeks in the UK. A few weeks later, I got a phone call from David, who informed me that he had a dream about my father, in which Dad asked him to instruct me to contact someone called Rosalia in Australia. I swear to God, I had never talked to David of the deal I had made with Dad, or ever mentioned the name Rosalia to him. Right. Next day, I phoned Rosalia and said to her, "Rosalia, I understand you have a message for me." After approximately a minute, she said, "Oh, yes, I just received his message. Don't ask me what it's about because it's very brief. He simply said, 'You were right all along, Dave.'" That curt reply shocked me rigid. I was disappointed that that was all he had to say, but Dad was always a man of very few words. However, I realized that he gave me two valuable gifts with that one short message. One, he indulged me by admitting that I was right, and two, he provided me with yet further personal proof that consciousness does indeed survive physical death. I have dreamed of Dad and his afterlife three times since his passing. He never says much, but he appears to be coping very well. I have no doubt that he is still very much alive in another type of reality. Thanks for taking time to read my story, Duncan. Hope it helps you on your own personal journey of discovery. David D., Sydney, Australia.
See, Australia does exist.
Yeah. That's why I read it out.
There's proof that Australia... Okay. You know, I just got a flash of something when you were talking about that. I got a flash.
Sorry, these trousers, I need to get sorted out.
Well, it's nothing that we haven't dealt with before. But in the flash that I had, the mental flash that I had, you know, we always imagine that we... come back as other people, you know, that our souls, you know, we give it another go with we load ourselves up with adversities and then we give it another go. Makes you kind of wonder because, you know, some people believe that souls split. Some people believe they stay intact. I can't remember who it was. People's philosophers' names are not coming to my mouth right now, but he actually believes that we are exactly the same when we come back. Like at one point, you know, I am going to come back exactly like me, probably not the same name, but looking just like me and behaving just like me and being me, but just, you know, at another point. Like there's not, like we really don't change bodies. We just change times, you know. But, you know, people have all kinds of different theories. But I just kind of got a visualization of, you know, what if, and I'm just proposing this to people, what if we really are only just us? And we, when we transition on, we just transition on to just something else, but it has nothing to do with Earth whatsoever. But what if we do transition on and we do come back and we come back as children, and that's why we forget, because for years we're being raised by different people to do different things with different experiences, and we just forget about this life we're in right now, but we remember it when we're kids. Because I remember... when I was a child, I really thought that I was Chinese. I had no idea what being Chinese was. I didn't know anything about that, but I just would tell people I was Chinese. And sometimes I was talking Chinese. Like I would sit there and I would say stuff, and people were just like, "What's she doing?" And then one day my mother sat me down and she's like, "We're not Chinese." And it really, not only did it confuse me, but it for a while, it like really messed with me. It shattered my world that I wasn't, because that's what I was. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I had to let it go to a certain extent. And so, like now I can't even stand Chinese food. I mean, I love Chinese culture, but Chinese food makes me feel bad. And it's probably just because it's the Chinese food that's around here. But anyway, that's nothing. That's neither here nor there. But, I mean, it's just kind of interesting. As a child, I just really knew that I was someone and I was something. And I even remember sitting down one day and decided that I was going to choose a voice to speak with. And I sat down and I tried out all these different voices. And I picked the voice that was best for me. And that's the voice I used. But I'm going to tell you, I may have just been playing a little game with myself, but that's just how, like, even as a kid, I was very deliberate in everything that I did. It's kind of weird. I don't know if anybody else did that kind of stuff. I mean, everybody else probably was just like, whatever, we played. But I was very deliberate with the things that I did and the things that I said, and even to the point of I sat and I drew shapes until I would ask my sister, is this a letter? Is this a word? Is this a word? And she would say, well, these are letters now, because I figured out how to make my letters. But she's like, but they haven't become words. But I was sitting there trying to write words without anybody telling me how, and I refused to listen to that there was actually a rhythm and a method to writing words. Like, you put vowels in there. I would just write letters and insist that that was a word.
Like,
or just putting a whole bunch of letters together and just insisting that they were words. And I just refused to, I didn't want to listen. I was so hard-headed, I didn't want to listen.
You know what blows my mind is when some people have like an accident or something, they bang their heads or they go into a coma or something, and they wake up speaking a different language.
Yeah.
What is that all about? How? I mean, you know, what?
What? There's a caller. We have a couple of callers. Let's take a call.
All right.
Okay, we're going to talk to the person at 954. Hi, I'm 954. This is Broken Earth. You've got Nunu and Bill. How can we help you today?
Oh, I just wanted to know if you had any messages for me, for my career.
You want to talk about your career? Any messages, career messages?
Yes.
Hold on just a moment. Let's see. What's your name?
Lucy.
Lucy? Okay, hold on just a moment, Lucy.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Oh, wow. Okay. Hold on just a moment. Interesting. Basically, it says, this is exactly what this says. This is a statement. Enjoy yourself. Indulge yourself. You work very hard. I mean, you're the type of person that does everything it takes to make things happen. Soon you'll see that there will be newness. There will be a new opportunity, newness. And you'll be able to relax. You'll be able to sit back and relax. And when you return, you'll return your high priestess is upside down, and then you win people over, and you're going to have to sort through the things that are actually important and what things are not. There's great distant hope. So basically it looks like you're being told, just to enjoy yourself now. You know, you are somebody that works very hard, but there's going to come a point where, there is a new opportunity or there's something brand new. There's something brand new that's coming in, but right now you need to just relax, because when you return, do you take a vacation soon?
No.
Okay. Well, don't worry. We're not going to worry about that. But basically, it says that there's a point where you relax, which it looks like it's like you take a trip or a vacation or just time off, because when you return, there's going to be someone who is in a big position. Not necessarily management, but possibly supervising, or even there's just something about this woman. It's a woman who looks like she takes care of things. She takes care of people. She takes care of certain things, and she's upside down. And when that happens, you're supposed to be having another opportunity. But see, the thing is, it looks like you're going to have a series of opportunities that come up soon.
Oh, wow.
But not to confuse you, you're being told to enjoy yourself right now because it looks like it's about to get kind of hectic. And but it looks like there's some time that you take off, even if it's just like one weekend or something. But when you come back, all of a sudden you'll see that somebody's out of commission, and then you've got some other things that come up, and you're going to have to really know. You're going to have to, like, it's kind of like the Matrix. You're going to have to know what bullets can hit you and what ones you have to let fall to the floor. So it just kind of looks like if I make this into a calendar for you, this looks like this is something that is happening in like a phase of 4, not 4 months, but I'm not feeling like it's necessarily 4 weeks. I'm kind of feeling like this is like towards the end of like the end of February or something. So basically, if we go forward 1 month, that's one step.
Okay.
And then 3 steps would be the weeks in February. It looks like there's going to be some changes that happen at that point.
Go ahead. Yes.
No. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say that this woman that you see is in an influential position because I don't work for somebody.
Well, if she is... if she's somebody that may be more of someone who's a peer than someone who does similar things that you do, and maybe she's not going to be doing it anymore, so people will be coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because your opportunities don't actually show up as individuals. Your opportunities show up as conflict.
Do you see that these opportunities are within the United States or they're outside? Like,
you're actually asking questions that would take me down the road to tell you need to get a reading, okay? Just know that because remember, these are sample readings. That's okay, but just take the information you have and know that towards the end of February there's going to be someone who is not doing what she does anymore, so this is going to leave conflicts and people are going to be turning to you, okay?
Wonderful.
But if you want a real reading, I'm available for that. Just, we're on Facebook. We also have a website, and the website is on the radio page.
Right.
And
go
you get in touch with
it.
Yeah, you can get in touch with us, okay, sweetheart?
Well, thank you
so
much. I appreciate it.
Okay, good luck, dear. Good luck.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right.
Thank you, too.
Okay. Bye-bye. It sounds like she's about to get real busy, though.
What's going to get real busy?
I said it sounds like she's about to get real busy. Anyway. Her business.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah.
I want people to remember that, if you want to drop me an email, just if you want to, discuss anything that's been on the show, or you just, want to chat, or if you need some physical healing, I can see I'll see what I can do for you. Drop me an email at Bill Doyle, that's DOYLE, at live.com.
And also, on the part of the page where you, on the show page, where you see photographs that flash by, there is a our link to
The problem is the link isn't working properly. There's extra symbols and stuff in it.
So
the only way around it is if you copy the link without the hash and the exclamation mark on it, and once you get it and paste it into the URL thing, if you backspace the Broken Earth bit, there seems to be a gap between the forward slash and the Broken Earth Radio.
Oh.
Remove that. I don't know what's happened there, but if you remove that, it takes you to the website, okay? So we just need to edit that.
It needs to be edited because that's just so much. Let me see if I can, hold on just a moment. Let me find something so I can put it in the chat room.
Okay.
I don't even know why that was even there. It just got added.
Let me post it in the chat room.
Oh, I just did.
I was just
about to. That right there.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Very good. I don't know why it's got a hashtag and.
And an explanation point, because that's what shows up when I copy and paste it.
Really?
Yeah, I promise you, that's exactly what it looks like when I copy and paste it.
Well, on the link at the top, because it's down, it's underneath it, it puts a space or like a little, what's that thing called? Thingy.
A whoop-de-doo?
Yeah. I know it's getting near the end of the show. Is it worth me getting into anything else?
Well, let's take one more call, and then we'll take one last call, and then we'll talk about something else, and we'll give the show a proper closeout.
All right.
Okay, hold on just a moment. We're going to take the caller from 504. 504, this is Nunu with Phil. How can we help you, sweetheart?
Yes, hi. My name is Debbie.
Hello, Debbie.
Hi.
Hi. My boyfriend wants to get married, and his career's up in the air, and mine's up in the air, and I was just wondering if you saw that this was going to happen.
I see it happening. I really do. I see you all getting married. Because, I see pictures. I see pictures on the wall. I see, history. I see, like if we're standing in front of a wall together, on that wall I see photographs. And it's not just photographs of, wedding stuff. That's easy. That's nothing. I see photographs of you guys through the years. I see family. I see people. I mean, I just see you guys growing together. I see home. I see, I'm going to tell you something. You guys are going to be in a place probably in about the next, it's not 3 or 4 years, maybe the next 6 years or so, where, things are really going to be cruising well. They're going to be cruising really well. You're going to have a really good niche. You guys are going to be okay. Like I said, I see pictures. I even see books with pictures in it. That just to me says that there's a lot of history to go. You guys have a lot more story to tell. So, I know that your question is about a wedding, but that is just the easiest thing. That's the easiest thing. I see more. I mean, like eventually you'll look back and you'll be like, oh, that was simple. You know what I mean? Now we have to deal with this. So.
I'm not as worried about that as both of us have never been married and we're not young, and that's why I was wondering if it's good just to keep going like we were going. You know, it's not, it's a good relationship, and I'm not hooked on the marriage thing, but he brings it up.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, if it's something that, it doesn't matter if it's the man or the woman, if it's something that they, someone feels like they just want to experience, you know what I mean? It's really for the experience, because you got to remember that the person that you're with right now, this is the husband that he'll make today. And because you're seeing that he's making a great husband now, I'm not concerned about you guys. Like I said, this is the easy part. I see this being simple. And I do see you guys actually getting married, not just being together. I actually see you guys having a ceremony. I actually see you having, I see you wearing a dress. I see people there. I see a wedding, a real event. And I see the party. I see your reception. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
I'm not a young person, so I just don't want all that.
That's okay. I mean, it's It's he wants that though. You know, he wants to see you. He wants to see you dressed, and he wants to see you strutting your stuff, and he wants to. He's proud of you. He's proud of you, and he wants to be with you. You know, he really likes you a great deal. I mean, I'm not saying love on purpose because
I know. Because
he really, really enjoys you. He enjoys you. He likes you. He looks forward to the things that you have to say. You know, he still gets excited when you call or when you walk in the room, you know, and he wants to get married to you. He doesn't want to get married to me. You know, he doesn't just want to get married. He actually wants to have the celebration with you. So it's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we both have so many problems. I just that's good to hear.
Just, you know, he just wants to have something wonderful to look forward to. And after you guys do that, make something else to look forward to. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you for listening. It's really been nice talking to you today. Very nice.
You too.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
What are you going to say, Bill?
Well, here's an article, which... when I read it, I was like, really, this can't be right. The title is Seawater, a Safe Blood Plasma Substitute.
What?
Diluted seawater contains almost the same concentration of minerals and trace elements as blood plasma, and its sodium content matches that of blood. It has been used successfully in animal tests as a blood transfusion substitute, but human trials are long overdue. And I was like, it didn't make any sense to me at all. Now, I know we don't got much time left, and I know we probably won't be playing something long at the end of the show because the sound's not too good. I was going to read a bit of the article. I can't read the whole thing. We got time?
Whatever you say, you're the boss.
All right, well, I'm sure you'll be able to find the full thing yourselves on the internet. I can't read the whole thing, but from what I've read out there, you get what they're trying to do here.
Right.
There is a lot more to it, but I'm going to read out this section here. Enter seawater, the missing link in deficient elemental nutrition. It contains every mineral and trace mineral known, in organic form and in the proper ratios needed by human tissues, and it's been there all along as a healing and life-giving agent hidden in plain sight. While the website where I first found the marine treatment information had a good report and impressive photos, a more complete website on the subject was under construction. There, on his academic www.oceanplasma.org website, I discovered Dr. Jürgen Busch was in the process of translating a large body of ocean water research and supporting documentation from the original French into English. What I found on that site hit so close to home that I'm still reeling. My eye caught something that resonated with my transfusion phobia. It turns out that trials were run on stray dogs to test ocean plasma, which is diluted, cold-filtered ocean water, as a transfusion substitute. In one experiment, Rene Quinton and his medical team drained a dog of all its blood and replaced it with isotonic seawater.
Huh.
The dog should have died immediately, one would think, but the dog lived. On day two, after the transfusion, 50% of the blood components had reappeared. By day four, almost 100% of the missing blood components were restored in what appeared to be proof of biological transmutation, a change from one element to another. Not only did the blood completely regenerate, but soon after the procedure, the dog bounced around like a puppy with greater vitality than before, and it lived for many years afterwards. Just think what a safe, effectful, plentiful substitute for blood transfusion would mean to the world. No side effects, no blood type matching needed, no pathogen screening required, and it would be a true plasma with proven healing properties in itself. So what became of this wondrous marine treatment? World War One got in the way of medical research, and Quinton was drafted. He died in 1925. These events somewhat interrupted the continuance of marine treatment hospitals and clinics, of which there were many. However, the treatment was carried on by his medical co-workers and ardent followers, and it experienced a resurge after World War II in several countries. Animal trials using seawater in a transfusion substitute were repeated with the same results in 1969. But since the marine treatment was being used as a therapeutic agent on people, mostly as a foundation treatment for chronic degenerative disease, also became known as complete and readily assimilated liquid mineral and trace mineral supplement for remineralization, for detoxification, for energy and relieving stress. No human trials for transfusion ever have been attempted. As for the healing properties of seawater in today's restricted medical atmosphere, seawater can only be referred to as a mineral drink. If the word cure were uttered or written in relation to a brand name, the offense would be legally actionable. Only a drug, toxic by its very nature, can be called curative.
Right.
No FDA sanctioned studies will be funded or reported on the efficiency of seawater treatment for the disease, because a supplement can be studied only in relation to its disease risk reduction factor, as denied by the government agency, and not as a treatment for actual disease.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting how many, like before World War One, because even Gerson, you know, with the Gerson theory of you know, how to cure cancer. That was around around that time too, but the thing is too. I mean, at this point, there's been so many. I mean, because there's oil leaks, there's oil spills every year. I mean, you know, seawater is just not going to be very awesome anymore, don't you think? Or do you think it would be?
I don't know. I mean, somewhere.
Somewhere, maybe. Yeah. Somewhere, perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps,
but obviously, like, you know, they'd probably could do something with it, you know. So it would just have its bare compound of seawater, you know, what it should be like with all the other rubbish removed. But, I mean,
it makes sense, actually. I mean, it makes completely good sense why seawater exists and why there's so much of it and why it would be good for the human body, because we're water and we're salt.
Good. But that hadn't even crossed my mind. I would not have thought that, ever. It's not something I would have thought about.
Well, I know, you know, you can't drink it. You're not supposed to drink it.
Yeah, it didn't taste very good. I've swallowed some of the Mediterranean before now, and it wasn't very nice.
Right, but the thing is, it does make sense to me why it would be here and why, and because, you know, everything here on the earth, if you strip us down to the basics and we're just people walking around looking at green things and animals, you know, everything is here for us for a purpose. You know, everything we need is already here, and it's always been here. It's just everything that we have done or the things that we feel like we need. I mean, these are just luxuries, you know?
Well, we're hydrogen-based life forms, you know? So hydrogen, of course, H2O, hydrogen, oxygen. Now, I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I just want to say, touching on water and that, something to think about before the next show, about how the continents used to fit together.
Right.
You know, they all fit together. And I always thought about this and I thought, right, okay then. But I always thought about they'd just be like clumped together on one side with all the water. In other areas, they're all together. Obviously, there's going to be a mass of water and mass of land, right?
Right.
But something more over, imagine Earth growth. Imagine it's grown more than what it has. You know, what, bigger than what it used to be.
Well, I imagine so.
Well, I'll mention a bit more in the next show, so we've only got 2 minutes left.
Okay.
But, for what I've been looking at, there's a theory, the expanding Earth theory, where the Earth was smaller, a big land, just landmass, and as it's grown, they've all moved apart, and there's evidence in the ocean bed of movements, as if the continents are moving across. But I'll mention that more on the next show.
Okay. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Remember, we're here every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. United Kingdom. And remember to add us, or to like us, rather, on Facebook. You can like Broken Earth. You can like Psychic Nunu. Also, click on that link in the room, or click on the link on the, or, you know, copy and paste the link on from the little whatchamacallit up there. And, you know, look for us. Talk to us. Find us. But we'll see you next Tuesday, won't we?
See you next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wait a minute. I'm trying to find something to play real fast, but I think time may spin out anyway. Oh, no, here we go.